The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Here we go. Hour number two, 866-660-5759. Are you ready for some constitutional carry? John Lott, expert on such things, joins us 8:35. And it's so funny because Lott is so great. He was out of the University of Chicago for a while. I think he was an East Coast guy for a while. We've been speaking over. I had him on. I filled in for Gorka a couple of times last week and had John Lott on and learned that he lives in Montana. Of course he does. It's just is a perfect fit. And he's just a wonderful guy. So we'll get out to Big Sky Country and talk to John Lott. If you have any constitutional carry fears or kind of going, then you're just fearing, you know, more dead bodies on the streets. Those scare tactics never play out. He'll join us 8:35. I'm about to dive into some of y'all. This is one of the best reasons to have a talk show. Sometimes it's, you know, me, you know, blathering about stuff that I'm passionate about, and I just want y'all to agree with me because I want the country to be better. The great additional thing to that is if you disagree with me, you get to call and we bandy things back and forth. Sometimes I'm looking for a way to get where so many of you want to go, and it's just difficult. It's difficult in the social media censorship thing. We started our show. By all means, go get the podcast of the last hour. Rhonda has the podcast up, you know, 10 something after we're done. And Senator Hughes and I talked about pro-life stuff. Great. Same page. Awesome. Constitutional carry. Great. Same page. Awesome. Big tech censorship. It makes me as crazy as it does all of y'all combined. I mean, because I'm in there. I've never been victimized by it. I've never been shut down by a platform. Maybe I'm just lucky. Or maybe I don't, you know, shoot off of the mouth as much as some other people. But there is a wave of, you know, from people I love, DeSantis in Florida, Brian Hughes. And I'm not saying these people are wrong. I'm saying you got to help get me there where government is going to tell private companies whom they can permit and whom they don't, whom they can expel and whom they don't. I am driven as crazy by Zuckerberg and this stupid banishment of Trump from Facebook, and then their, you know, their oversight board. What a kangaroo court that was. Of a bunch of lefties who hate Trump as much as Zuckerberg does, gathering, going, no, the banishment of him made sense. Of course it did. So, excuse me. So we're going to make Facebook put him back on? What? By force of law? Conservatives? The people who say businesses, that if somebody comes up and says, that baker should be forced to make the gay cake with the wedding cake with two dudes up top of it. Oh, no, he doesn't. Listen, no. Now, I know that's different. Here's where I'm about to go to calls because some people apparently seek to be of service here. There are 5,000 bakers, right? There's only one Facebook. There's only one Twitter. All y'all are so cute saying that we're going to make Parler bigger than Twitter. Right. Parler's great. I love Parler. Parler's like a small gathering of conservatives where you gather with a like-minded and say conservative things to each other, which is awesome. Twitter's the big, nasty, dumb, crazy, wonderful at times, stupid at times, infuriating at times world. It's everybody. And I will never leave that playground. All these conservatives, well, it's just leave Twitter. It's the dumbest thing you'll ever do. Leave the battlefield. Oh, yeah, real smart. Deny everybody out there your conservative views. Genius move. But what in the meantime do we do? You know, what is the free market response, the free market liberty-related strategy, when private entities do things we don't like, ban people we don't think deserve to be banned. And Mike, God love him, could not answer this question. And he's going to lovingly bag on me like I, all on board with, Facebook and Twitter censorship just because I don't want government to police it. It's not the phone company. They're not utilities. So let me talk to somebody. So if you can get me to a place where, as a conservative, I am okay with government telling social media platforms whom they may allow and whom they may disallow, then this will be an interesting day. We're in Fort Worth. Vicki, hi, welcome, and happy Thursday. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. Down 30, so I'm happy.
Look at you. Excellent.
So it is great. Thanks for constantly pounding me about that.
Rhonda thanks you. I thank you, and they thank you.
Yes. You got to think about this differently.
Mm-hmm.
Back before TV, our parents probably thought when TV came on board, they were a private company too. Same with radio. And then all of a sudden, those are main forms of communication. Same with cable TV. It got added to the fray. You can't think of this as big tech. It's not big tech. It's big communication. This is the way in which the millennials and even Gen X communicate.
So?
They don't call you back. They use the platform to message each other. So it's just like a communication company.
Well, but help me. But I'm the guy who spent an entire career telling me government damn well better not tell me what to say. I've never believed that I believe the FCC in helping terrestrial radio make sure that our signals don't bump into each other and we don't have five stations with the same frequency in the same town. Absolutely great. The degree to which the FCC has ever sought to dictate content, what a TV station says, what a radio station says, I've opposed it with every fiber of my being.
But so, the difference is there's 100 stations in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Understand.
That you can listen to.
Understand completely. Sorry. I mean, so
I
if there's
Mike's
only one.
Right
so,
on it, go, break go. Up the monopoly.
But and how, oh, the really? Monopoly. And how do you break up the monopoly? How exactly do we do that?
The same way they did the Ma Bell.
Yeah. Oh, which,
back in the 80s.
And which at the time, it's not the phone company.
But that's how the millennials communicate. They use their phones.
I don't care. The fact that a lot of people do something doesn't make it okay for us to foist our will on a private company.
It does make it okay to say you can't censor people.
No,
that
it doesn't.
Use your platform to communicate.
No, but why? Just but other than we don't like it, why?
But you're looking at it as big tech. Think what you call it: social media.
Right.
Media.
Right.
So. The media, yes, they have a right to say what they want to say, but they're not going to stop their circulation, or they can't stop their circulation to you because you're conservative.
All right. So rather than hang on a minute. This may be the sound of progress. We're not so much talking about what a station can say, what a host can say, what a show can say.
Correct.
But rather whether hang on a minute. I'm moving clumsily. It's almost like DirecTV coming to my house and saying, I'm a big DirecTV customer, and saying, Mark Davis, we don't like you. We're pulling the plug on your satellite service.
Correct. Not allowing you to access that communication.
Gotcha. So it's not about a show. It's not about a show that I would have on it. It's about my ability to consume it. Okay, Vicki. Okay. All right, let me
consume it, and even to write to the paper and say, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Or to talk to other people. And the senator that was on this morning had a point too. This is the new town hall. This is how people gather.
Oh, I know, but guess what? That doesn't matter either. The fact that a lot of people use it, this is the 21st century, doesn't matter at all. What you've said, where you've taken me, matters a great deal. And that is the degree to which a company denies service, not denies you a bullhorn, denies Trump a soapbox, which is what they're doing. But let me see if I got this. Telling Trump there are things he can't say is one thing. Telling them he can't have an account, can't even be on there, can't even read other people's stuff by virtue of signing on to Twitter. That's where the denial of service becomes something that they can't do.
Correct. And you know, and I know, if you try to look up something and you're not signed into your Twitter or your Facebook,
right,
it will only let you get so far.
Exactly. Vicky, this is extremely valuable. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Because I've been thinking, okay, which, because the reason I'm thinking about it is because everybody's talking about it is free speech. And it's not a free speech issue. It's just not. You do not have a right to post something on Twitter. You just don't. If they go, yeah, we don't like that, I think they get to do that. And we can fuss and moan and whine about it. And believe you me, I will. It's the notion of denying you an account where you can be on there, participate, see others. You know, it's the banning even the opportunity of interaction. That's like AT&T canceling my cell phone service, DirecTV canceling my satellite because they don't like my politics, which that would certainly seem like it would not fly. Okay. Interesting. 822, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
And the whole thing is getting out of hand. Come to Papa.
From Night Moves.
Come see your Papa.
1976.
If you need.
Little Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band on his 76th birthday. Okay, 866-660-5759. We are in Irving. Aaron, hey, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so here would be my analogy, I guess, that hopefully helps you,
mm-hmm.
which is that we use the bakery, for example, because there are many options. So if a bakery doesn't want to bake a cake for
right.
a gay couple,
just go to another bakery.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if that's the only baker in the country?
Well,
Are you okay with them not serving a certain
person? Okay. All right. Great question. Let's do something that's realistic. What if they're the only baker in town? Small town, one baker. Am I still okay
yeah,
with?
But we're talking,
I know what you mean. Take the walk with me. Take the walk with me, because I think we'll get where you want to go anyway. Let's say they're the only baker in town. I'm still okay. But then you got to go to another town, okay? Because that baker still has rights. So if there's only one of you, let's go to your exact question. Only one baker in the country. I guess the argument then is there are certain obligations that befall you because the usual rules of the open marketplace, the usual freedoms of choice, just don't exist because you're the only baker in the country.
Correct. Such as Facebook and such as Twitter. Basically, they're the only ones in the world. So what if it's the only baker in the world and they mm-hmm. say, we don't want to serve black people?
Yeah. Let's not invent stuff. Let's not invent stuff. Okay. Let's do the thing that we actually stick up for and on good principle. And that's the baker who, by virtue of personal beliefs, not wishing to participate in a gay wedding, won't make the gay cake with the two dudes on top of it. You are telling me, that's okay. Maybe I need to. I mean, you're telling me only one baker in the country? That baker's got to make the cake for the gay wedding. That is what you're telling me, right?
Correct.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, and maybe the problem is, you know, a cake, whatever. A cake versus your ability to communicate in the political discourse. Slightly different rungs on the significance ladder. You've got, it's a really strong point, but, you know,
I think your problem really is, is principle.
I hate when that happens.
but here's the problem with principle mm-hmm. is that Democrats will run all over you and take everything from you, but you still have your principles.
And I will never surrender them. And that's why I'm looking for a way on principle to back this. If I have one more person tell me that the Democrats are scalawags, that the Democrats are scum, and the Democrats cheat and the Democrats lie, so I need to, too, I will say hell no for the rest of my life. Because that's the only way I can sleep at night. I love you, man. Appreciate it. Okay. But I think the earlier lady has something that it's not because there really is no apples and apples. Ain't nothing like Facebook. Ain't nothing like Twitter. They are not utilities, but nor are they bakeries where if they won't make the gay cake you want, then you can the gay cake. Where they won't make the what's a gay cake look like? Where they won't make the cake for the gay wedding, but the bakery next door will. Well, there's no Facebook next door. There's no Twitter next door. What obligations does that create? All righty, let's go from social media to guns for a quick visit with John Lott out in Montana. I think they have some good high-quality weaponry out there and some good quality clarity on constitutional carry and what it means. It's a step closer to becoming reality in Texas. We'll check one of America's first and foremost gun freedom experts, John Lott. Don't anybody go. If you're still here on the regulating of social media, stay. I'll get right back to you. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. It's 833. Here's Gordon. All right. 839. We got a lot of things going on here. Must be a talk show breaking out or something. And it's so cool to focus on what Texas is doing, because when you spend a whole lot of days focusing on what Washington is doing, it can get really depressing. But here we are in Texas, where we run things a little bit differently, sometimes a lot differently. Pro-life bills making progress, where we're wrestling with this whole big tech censorship thing and how to address that, but at least we're doing it. And then there's the Second Amendment, a Second Amendment which is appreciated across Texas a whole lot more than it is across the fetid landscape of the Biden administration, or even the landscape here in Texas of gun grabbers and skeptics about constitutional carry. So to help you out, we have worked out the help of one of the guys who I've admired for a long, long time. When he wrote More Guns, Less Crime, 1998, 20-some years ago, he instantly staked out a claim as one of the foremost experts on the Second Amendment and its liberties, and that keeping guns out of the hands of the law abiding is a disaster. More Guns, Less Crime was the title, and that it's the difference between our culture and a bunch of others. So let's talk constitutional carry and other gun stuff. Let's go to John Lott. Where in the beautiful state of Montana are you, John? It's wonderful to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm in Missoula. It's great to talk to you again.
Now, do you have a history up there, family connection, or just love it up there and have chosen to spend some time?
It's just a beautiful place. Man. I mean, I've spent part of my life in Texas, so I'm not going to...
That's right.
That's pretty nice.
Well, thank you. That's right. Well, listen, let's dive in, because we've spoken in the last couple of days. We talked on the Gorka show the other day, and it looked like there were curious hesitations in Texas about whether constitutional carry was going to pass. And the lieutenant governor, whom I love, was giving us this line about it. Well, I don't know if it's going to go to the floor unless I know it will pass. And I said, no, if no matter what happens, take it to the floor so we know who's for it and we know who's against it. Well, we found that out, and it passed 18-13 with some amendments that the House must clean up, but that mostly involves penalties for violators of certain statutes. So it looks like a thumbs up. Tell me why this is important.
Texas will be the 21st state that will adopt this. And, the reason why it's important is there's basically two main changes that this law will accomplish. One is if somebody needs to get a permit quickly, if a woman, let's say, is being stalked, right now in Texas, she has to wait 60 days or so in order to be able to legally carry.
Mm-hmm.
That may be too long of a wait for her or others if they need protection. Also this last year we saw 20 states essentially stop issuing permits or almost completely stop issuing permits because of the coronavirus breakout that we had. And, there are times where states, because of emergencies or other things, are not able to go and issue permits quickly. And when you have disaster strikes, it may be important that people are able to go and protect themselves. The other big change it's going to have is the cost. I mean, right now, for a four-year permit, it's $40. There are training costs that are there. You're probably talking about something that's going to be about $100 or so. That may not stop you or I from being able to go and obtain a permit. But the very people that benefit the most, according to my research, are the people who are most likely victims of violent crime, and that overwhelmingly tends to be poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas. If you compare, let's say, two states like Illinois and Indiana, In Illinois, you have about 3% of the adult population carrying a permanent concealed handgun. In Indiana, it's over 20%. There's a simple reason for that, and that is the cost. In Indiana, it costs $12.95 to get a permit. In Illinois, it costs about $450 to get it. And it's not just the number, but you see a huge impact on the mix of people who get it. In Illinois, it's overwhelmingly wealthy whites who live in the suburbs, which is fine that they get permits. But they're not the ones who are most likely victims of violent crime. And, you know, Texas has seen these types of changes over time. It used to be $140 to go and get a concealed carry permit in Texas, as well as requiring 10 hours of training initially and 10 hours to get it renewed. Now it costs $40, and there's 3 to 5 hours of training. There's all sorts of predictions of disaster when those changes were occurring there. But, you know, that didn't happen. Instead, what you've seen is the types of zip codes where you have a lot more poor people are carrying now than they were before. And those are the people that, that benefit the most.
The entire answer, that entire wonderful answer, was like a detailed tour through the problems that come up when you take a basic right, which the Second Amendment does define, and try to make you jump through government hoops in order to enjoy it. John Lott is here. More Guns, Less Crime, and Everything Else He's Ever Written is a good idea for you to consume on Amazon. The predictable people are against constitutional carry, and that's the people that don't like guns. I have, however, made the acquaintance of, heard from, some actual cops who are not a fan of this. They're not like up in arms that it's terrible, but they just really, really wonder, because in law enforcement, you are so steeped in your own training, so aware of the care and discretion you must show, and the notion of X number of people who might be doing some packing of heat without much of any training at all concerns some of them. Some, I'm sure, are listening right now. Address that for that community.
Sure. I mean, if you go back and look at when Texas adopted, went into effect in 1996, the concealed carry law, you had concern at that time. You know, and the same types of predictions were being made then that are being made now. My advice is for these officers to simply contact police in the 20 states that allow concealed carry, you know, have constitutional carry already, and see what their reactions are. Because what you're going to find is, just like when right to carry laws were adopted, there's a lot of fears that occur, and then they don't happen. And you know, you can look out. None of the constitutional carry states have even had a hearing on trying to reverse the laws that are there, let alone actually seriously consider with a vote on any type of, you know, retraction of the law that they put in place. And you would think that if there were some types of problems along the lines that people are talking about, there'd at least be a hearing, there'd at least be bills being put up in order to try to undo the change in the law that's there. But you haven't seen any of that occur. And, you know, I think that probably speaks volumes more than almost anything else that you can say. But they should just go and talk to the police. Look, police have certain standards that they go through when they go and stop a car. That's not going to change as a result of this. One other concern that police have in many places is just the loss in revenue from not having permits being issued, or as many. And in fact, if you look at it, the constitutional carry states haven't seen the big increases in permits that we've seen in the states that that aren't constitutional carry, but the number of permits basically stay about the same. People want to be able to have a permit for multiple reasons. Maybe they travel. Maybe they just want to be able to go and show the officer that they have the permit, for people who can afford those types of things and have the time to be able to go and get it. Some people just feel more comfortable. The other thing is the issue of training. And what you find is that the number of people who go and sign up for classes actually increases when you move to constitutional carry. You know, more people are going to be carrying, and the concern is, well, they're not going to get trained. But people who carry, law-abiding citizens, realize that if they make a mistake, they can become a felon. And they want to make sure that that's not going to be the case, that the type of training may change. You know, what you often have with bureaucracies is parts of training which are not very useful for people. And so training will change, but people will still get training. In fact, you'll see more people getting training than you do now.
Yeah, and the kind of people that we're worried about, sort of wheels off, odd people, crazy people, criminal people, they're not getting permits anyway. The people we have to worry about are not the ones. This will take about 30 seconds. These are the states, alphabetical order: Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, of course, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And Texas would be the 21st state. So it's not like this is crazy new trailblazing stuff. We're joining what is now working its way toward half the states in the country.
Yeah, there are five other states, including Texas, which are still considering the law this year. You know, I think part of it has just been a reaction to the Biden administration, all the costs and everything that they're going to be imposing, and they are in the process of imposing on gun ownership. And some of these states are saying, look, while the federal government's imposing more costs on law-abiding people to be able to have guns, we're going to make it so that law-abiding people, I mean, the only people they can carry under constitutional carry are those who can legally own a gun.
Exactly.
You know, we're going to try to balance that off to some extent.
All right, this is great. And in the final 2 minutes, let me change gears for the best answer for the thing that people, some really thoughtful people say, and I want your best answer to it about gun culture in general. People say, look at some of these countries where they have just outright gun bans, and we have a lot less gun violence. So why can't we go be like Australia? Why can't we go be like the UK? Well, of course, people find other ways to kill each other in those countries. But my answer always begins with guns have been a part of American history and culture. In our founding, you had to step over a pile of guns to get to the dinner table, you know, in the frontier West. What is the best answer to somebody saying America just has too many guns? If we just reined that in, it would be so much better.
Right. Well, it's a simple question. That is, can you name me one place in the world that's banned guns, either all guns or all handguns? Well, we have crime data both before and after the ban that's seen murder rates go down or even stay the same. Every single place that's banned either all guns or all handguns has seen murder rates go up, often by 4, 5, 6, 7-fold over what it was before. And there's a simple reason for that, and that is, and this applies to gun control generally, that if you ban guns, it's the most law-abiding good citizens who turn in their guns, not the criminals. And to the extent that you relatively disarm law-abiding citizens more than you disarm criminals, you actually see increases in violent crime. You know, you have Mexico next door. Mexico, literally only a couple tenths of 1% of the adult population in Mexico is legally licensed to own a gun. And yet Mexico has a murder rate that's over 6 times higher than the murder rate that we have in the United States. And that's true if you look worldwide. The countries that have the highest gun ownership rates tend to have relatively lower murder rates. But the simplest thing, again, is just ask people the question. Say, name me one place. I mean, it's just not Chicago and Washington, D.C. People know what happened in those places when they had handgun bans go into effect. Mm-hmm. But even island nations, when they've had, you know, whether it's Jamaica or the Ireland, Republic of Ireland or the UK, you know, well-known places like that, have had huge increases in homicide murder rates after they've had gun bans go into effect. And that, you know, you'd think out of randomness, if they're right that guns on net on bad,
somewhere,
then banning guns would actually reduce or at least not increase murder rates, and you won't find that.
The great John Lott, at John R. Lott Jr., J.R. there on Twitter. Check him out. And
well, crimeresearch.org is our crimeresearch.org.
Thank you. Crimeresearch.org for the website of the data and the research and the gun-related wisdom of John Lott. Thank you, man. Appreciate it so much. We needed you today in particular. I'm so glad to have you.
Well, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. That's John Lott out in the wilds of Montana. 853, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. We'll be right back. All right. That was John Lott talking some guns. What a great point he made. Find me one place that's banned guns and it got more peaceful. Quite the opposite. It was, and it's funny, I remember, I think I was like 10 when I saw this bumper sticker and it kind of confused me. I said, what? But of course I got it, you know, I think I had my dad explain it to me or something. And the bumper sticker was, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Duh. So anyway, as constitutional carry comes a step closer to reality. Okay, being me, I've had so people are bringing me these wonderful ideas on why it's perfectly okay, hunky-dory and great for us to ban dictate to social media whom they can ban and whom they can't. Because, hey, it's not really a utility, but there's only one. They're kind of unique, so we can kind of tell them that. Okay. No good deed goes unpunished. I've thought of another problem. It's kind of what I do. So let me get back into that with you. Gun stuff with you. Pro-life stuff. The stuff I haven't brought up. There's all kinds of progress in Austin. It sure is a lot more fun talking about conservative progress on stuff we're doing in Texas than the latest dreadful ideas in Washington. But we cover all of it and glad to do it with your wonderful company on this beautiful Texas spring day. It's Thursday. Glad to have you here. 2 hours down, one to go. What will we make of it? Let's find out and unwrap the package next. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.